Welcome to Hope Talks, where we share inspiring stories of hope in Jesus Christ. Hope Talks is hosted by Pastor Margaret Michael and Grayson Willis. Join us for uplifting stories of triumph, faith, and the enduring power of Christ's love. Also, if you're in the listening area, tune in to 1470 AM or 102.1 FM WBTX to listen to Hope Talks every Sunday at noon.
Welcome to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. I'm Grayson Willis. Today's broadcast will be part two of Pastor Kevin Griffin's testimony. If you missed part one last Sunday, you can find that on our website, cotnaz.org. Then click Watch, Listen, then click Hope Talks. We pray that you enjoy part two today. May God bless. So how did you, again, trust God with praying about this decision that you had to make? Not an easy decision, as you shared. You know, you love the church you were at, you love the people, but also you're open to God's will for your life and doing that, whatever, whether it meant staying or going.
We had just finished a series. It was a series that Life Church had done, a Craig Rochelle series, and I had literally just preached a couple weeks before this. He had preached on three dangerous prayers, and the second one was send me. And it was as if, you know, once I got this phone call, it was like, well, you just preached this. Are you going to live this? Or are you just going to preach it for everybody else in your church? And so we just started this praying process and just trusted, okay, Lord, you're going to have to make this clear. We didn't pursue this. It wasn't on our bucket list. So we did the same thing again. We just walked through the steps and said, you make it clear. We'll say yes until, again, we didn't know. Are the people here going to say no? Is the board going to say no? But we learned from the previous time, at least I learned. I didn't want to say no before I gave, you know.
For the Lord to work and, yeah.
Yeah, and it doesn't mean that you can't say no on the front end if God's telling you, don't even pursue this. But we just never sensed, Ruth nor I sensed, that we should say no right away.
Like you said, I think you said your grandma used to say, walk through the doors and allow God to close the doors if it's not his will.
That's right. And my former pastor used to say, he said, I would add one thing to that. I'd ask him just to blow the hinges right off the doors.
Make it so obvious that there's no doubt.
Yeah. And I don't think that happened for us until the night that we drove to Virginia. It was April 21st, and Ruth and I met with your church board.
But God met you that night. He was in the details of all of that.
Yeah, I'll tell you this moment. This is really tender. We were probably close to the end of that meeting, and each of the members of the board were asking Ruth and I questions. They would ask me a question. They would ask her a question. Sometimes they would ask us both questions, but we got almost to the end. And there was a board member who had been in my church within the 6 months before that and spent time with us for the weekend. And she went to ask her question. I'll just say who it was. It was Pam Charette. She went to ask her question, and she put her head down on the table and just started weeping. And Ruth and I just sort of looked at each other. And up to this point, I'm still thinking, okay, we're here. We're answering questions and like... But she lifted her head back up and she said, nobody else in this room knows what we're asking you to do. But I've been in your church. I've spent time with your people. I've spent time with your staff. And I know what we're about to ask you to walk away from. And I'm sorry. And she was just crying.
Wow.
She said, but I need to ask you this question anyway. And it was as if before she ever asked the question, I was like, wow. Okay, Lord, for some reason... this makes no sense to me. She's expressing that they need the Griffin family here. And she's powerfully expressing this. And we got in the car afterwards, and I said to Ruth, I'm like, what do you think? And she said, I think it's clear, even though it doesn't make sense to us, God wants us to come here. And they need us here for whatever reason, even though we don't know those reasons yet.
Wow. It's powerful.
Yeah.
It's just a true picture of being willing to walk through the doors and allow God to, like, you all have not just once, but this is your third time of, okay, this means moving to another state. You know, this means uprooting and having a new start. But I'm just, like, moved and just thinking about the obedience. And the one thing that I really want to highlight, and I feel kind of bad that Ruth is not in this interview. We'll have to get her in here. I have a follow-up. But every time that there's been a big decision to make, is Ruth and I.
Yeah.
You all have, you know, it's something that you both went to the Lord together on, and he's obviously given you all a heart for the ministry together, and that's beautiful.
Yeah. Every once in a while that will get lost in me. Most of the times it's not, that she's been so willing. And in most cases, I'll look at her and she's the one that will say to me, what are we waiting for here? And that night on Route 81, as we're driving home, she said, I don't know why, but God wants us to come. And I knew there was my confirmation. There was my answer. You know, that's my partner. That's my, you're saying it. The following Sunday night, Jazz had come home from college. So she was in college in Indiana. She comes home, and it's the first time now we've had the four of us in the same space to be able to talk about this. Mm-hmm. Both of our kids knew this was a possibility, but she said, okay, well, what are we doing? So we told them. We had pretty much made a decision that weekend, and she said, okay, well, just explain this to me. Why would we go? And, you know, Ruth and I, with tears, said, well, we took her through this process and said, this is what we feel like God's calling us to do. Doesn't make a lot of sense, doesn't. But when we each explained that to her, and it wasn't like God wrote it on a napkin or he put it on a sign in the clouds, and he didn't do any of that. But it was just interesting to hear a 19-year-old girl say, okay, he's spoken to you guys. I'm good. Let's go.
Yeah.
This isn't what any of us want, really. And it wasn't that we were opposed to coming, but we certainly weren't, hey, let's go to Harrisonburg.
Yeah, this is right. Awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the cool part. Pastor Margaret mentioned it wasn't just you, and it wasn't just Ruth, but it was also Jazz and Jeremiah who understood, even though it wasn't easy, you know, like you said, they had built relationships there at this church, and they had invited their friends in, but they understood that you and Ruth were surrendered to God's call and the obedience, and they understood that, and they were behind it.
Yeah. And there were moments for sure where I'm sure they wavered. I mean, even after we got here. I mean, Jazz went back to college, so it was easier for her. Right. But Jeremiah, for sure, he's starting ninth grade and starting all over again, and right. All these relationships that he built. And there were definitely moments where he would look at us and be like, you know, I can't believe we're here. I can't believe you asked me to do this. But in the end, I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that it's not to pat Ruth and I on the back. He's going to look back and say, and he probably already has on some level, all I know is my mom and dad were obedient. Yeah. They just, even though none of it always made sense, they just decided to say yes, and they waved the white flag and they went.
Well, and I think that was modeled for you.
It was.
By your dad.
Yep, very clearly.
The agreement of your mom and dad. You have that.
It's
beautiful. And, you know, that's the grace that extends through generations. You know, that's beautiful.
Yeah.
That they can see that and support that. And it might not always, it's never going to be Norman Rockwell. You know,
like not at all.
A painting of, but it is... when you see God so clearly in the midst of it. And there's a couple things of the night that you were here. You came and preached, and that was the night we voted. One thing that really impacted me that night was to look at Jeremiah and see him setting up there at the front of the church surrounded by these friends that he had had previous.
Yeah.
And to see that he didn't walk in and not know anyone, but there were some people there supporting your kids that night. There were a lot of people here to hear you and to support Ruth, but also to support your kids. And that was a really cool thing to see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it probably seems like the most Captain Obvious statement, but for us, ministry was our family. And what happened in Pennsylvania at our church was because of our family. Our family had their fingerprints all over a lot of what happened. And the fact that I just had a family that, man, what a gift to have that in ministry. And even though, again, they weren't crazy about coming back to this, they opened their arms and they embraced it. And they just went, okay, we've seen God help us before. He'll do it again.
As you were talking, I was thinking about two different times in my life where, you know, you talked about your dad and the impact that he had. Well, I think about when Dad got called out of photography for us to go to Colorado Springs for him to go to Bible college, and just the huge impact of obedience, moving so far away from home, not really knowing. And then also, 6, almost 7 years ago now, Dad, he had no reason to want to leave here. He didn't want to leave here. That wasn't on his bucket list. But God called him to Philadelphia, which didn't make any sense to him. He had no connections there. But he was obedient. And him leaving here, which I figured he would retire from here, that just, I've told him before, the impact that obedience had on my life. So you're talking about, you know, I hope that my kids will look back, and if nothing else, they can say our parents were obedient. So just don't take that for granted.
Yeah, that's a good reminder. I think that will happen, and I think it is happening.
Yeah.
I mean, I want them to know that we love Jesus.
Right.
But I want them to know there's a cost.
Right.
But the cost in the end, his faithfulness of what's going to happen.
Right.
I think they're witnessing it already here.
Yes. Oh, there's definitely. No doubt. And I think about Grayson was talking about his dad answering the call to go be a district superintendent. And just one person's obedience, there's what we do affects others, whether we listen or not. And sometimes our no is someone else's yes. And it's amazing how God just guides us, and even when we don't think there's any way, you know, that's not, is that for me, Lord? Like, and not even sure you want to entertain the thought, but then by the time, you know, God is patient and allows us to work those things out in our mind. He gives us the mind of Christ, and then all of a sudden, like, absolutely. But he's so patient with us when we have decisions.
Well, and when I called his dad in March of 2018, one of the things I said to him was something that I had wrestled with when I decided to go to a Christian college. I said to his dad, I feel like God's really using me here and I have real ministry. And I'm thinking about going into full-time ministry. And am I doing the wrong thing? Am I going to, like, lose influence? Like, I feel like this is a definite mission field. And he sort of laughed, not out of disrespect, but he said, do you know how many people God has given me opportunity to influence by being a pastor now? Like, he goes, the multiplication of what that's happened, not just because I get to speak in front of lots of people, but it's just the doors that he's opened. And I don't know why I hadn't thought about that till he said it that day.
Well, you take that team approach, that coaching mentality, and thinking about, we have a team here that works together as a staff, but then taking our church, you know, and thinking about prepping us for the kingdom, you know, and coaching us on how to grow the kingdom of God.
Yeah.
For the big win, you know, for the one win that really matters.
Yeah.
And you talked about going, when you first started as the pastor at Ephrata, focusing on ministering to the staff. And I can speak from experience. You've done that here, too. And I can see the impact that it's had on the pastors and the staff, just focusing on ministering. You know, I think one of the first staff meetings we had, I told Pastor Margaret afterwards, it felt like a church service, felt like a worship service. So thank you for that.
That's good. I'm glad to hear you say that. Yeah.
Yeah. And Dad, I know when he asked you to come follow him or come be with him in Philadelphia, he said something, and this isn't a quote, but it's a paraphrase. Essentially, he felt like when he came to the Philadelphia district, the pastors or the district was disconnected, and he wanted you to help connect. And he said, Kevin's one of the best or the best connector of people that he has ever met.
Hmm.
So I think when God was giving him your name to be the pastor at Ephrata, I can't remember if he told me this or what. I think I asked him at one point, why would you give Kevin to... Like, I didn't even know he had suggested...
He wanted to get rid of me, man.
I thought they had requested to interview you to him, and I'm like, why would you let them do that? He's your only full-time person. He essentially told me, well, Kevin's accomplished the goal that I brought him here for.
Mm.
And if I'm not mistaken, he told you... People don't get saved at the district office.
He did. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, I think he also saw that at that point we had lived there for just over 2 years and we were meshing ourselves into the community in which we went, right? And we did that here. And we didn't just do it in the church. I mean, you know, we just felt like wherever God you plant us, just use us wherever. Well, I don't care if it's public school or Ruth at her job or whatever. And so the Lord was doing that, I feel like. And it made sense on some level. Well, why don't we have a family that's already built relationships and connections in this community?
Yeah, absolutely. So you are our pastor, and I have a great appreciation for you as my pastor. Maybe just tell us, what is bringing you hope?
I think... Several things. One, I feel like you described you have a team here. You had a large staff team here. And I feel like even though it's only been essentially 5 months since I've been here, that the team is growing together and they're growing individually. Yes, we have issues and but I'm feeling more and more excited and hopeful about the growth of our team as individuals and as a group together.
Yeah.
I'm seeing it happen. There's some on this team that have been together for many, many years. You're one of them, Pastor Margaret. So I'm jealous of that because you don't really, when you work with somebody for as long as you have, you don't have to worry about what's the person on my right or my left doing.
Yeah.
But I'm the new person in the room. And so to try to build that trust and that, it just takes time, but I'm seeing it happen. That gives me hope. Baptisms give me hope.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Great, amazing stories that I'm listening to from the baptisms that have happened. The testimonies are some of the most powerful words, and that gives me great hope. More people coming to church. Our giving gives me great hope. I mean, every pastor would say, well, yeah, you're just worried about numbers and giving. That's not true. But it is an indicator of health. Yes. And it is an indicator that people are finding hope or they wouldn't keep coming, I don't think. The biggest thing for me, above and beyond all of that, is that I feel like, and I'm not just basing my faith on feeling, that on Sundays when we gather, in staff meetings when we gather, in life group, my life group, that God's presence has been real. Yeah. And his presence is the only thing that I want, and it's the only thing that will change people's lives.
That's right. Amen. That's right. That's powerful.
Yeah. And Pastor Kevin, you were referencing a series that you did at your church in Ephrata about dangerous prayers, and you talked about send me. And I believe I remember going back before you even were here as our pastor, just knowing Pastor Adrian had you for a revival family weekend. And after that weekend you came and preached, I had went to Ephrata's YouTube account and listened to some of your messages. And I, for some reason, I went back and listened in the spring of last year to that message. And there was a line in that message, or maybe it was from Family Weekend. Sometimes everything runs together. But you said, you know, take your call seriously because it impacts other people's lives. So thank you for being willing to go, even though that wasn't, you know, it wouldn't have made sense for you to go maybe with everything that was, the way things were going at Effort. It was going well. And, you know, you said, Jazz said, well, why would we do this?
Yeah.
So, but thanks for being willing and open to God saying, it's time for us to move. It's time for something else.
Yeah. There's a human component. I mean, everybody would say this, right? But there's a very human component for me personally. I was from Pennsylvania. I'd spent most of my life in Pennsylvania. People would laugh at this. I loved Philadelphia. It wasn't just that I liked the sports teams.
That Philly district.
Yeah.
They are passionate.
Yeah, I loved our district. I didn't want to leave your dad again.
Yeah.
You know, he was my pastor. He was my friend. He was my colleague. It was a different level of relationship. I was going to miss his leadership. I knew I wasn't going to see him as much. Just there was so much in the human that was a tie for us. So we loved the food. We loved everything about what was happening there. And people might laugh at that and say, you love the food. Yeah, I mean, it was there's so much about where we live that we loved. So
that was the one thing that I was going to ask you, and I momentarily forgot it. You going to Philly with Pastor Carey, you already was familiar with that culture, with the people. You grew up on that district, right?
Yeah, I did. Yes.
So I think that's a huge piece that we can't miss. Like you going there and kind of maybe even paving the way.
Right.
And knowing that district was huge for Pastor Carey.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And God used you to do that. And obviously there was a time where part of that role, you know, was up and then the church. So I'm going to pull it all the way back to your coaching days now. When you're a coach, you have a lot of interaction with other coaches when you're recruiting, I'm sure. One of the things that I've noticed since you've been here is we have a lot of coaches that are attending this church. And it's like, I don't think you've built those relationships since you got back in town. But what you did here in Harrisonburg at EMU and building those relationships in this community, God is still producing fruit from that, right?
Yeah. Yes. And so some of them are previous relationships, and some of them, those coaches have gone and got other people. Some of it is the way that I teach and explain things on a Sunday is, if you're a coach, it makes sense. Mm-hmm. It's easy to comprehend. It's I'm a visual person. So all of those factors, I'm sure that, let me say it this way. Early on when I started to preach, which I didn't know what I was doing, and really still don't, but Ruth said to me, babe, why don't you just preach like you used to coach?
Wow.
And I can tell you do that on Sunday mornings.
And when she said that to me, yeah, that gave me the freedom to just
be who you are.
Yeah.
Wear your armor.
Yeah. That helped me a lot.
Yeah, it's been really beautiful to watch. And just, I don't know, 2 weeks ago, a couple come in, and I could tell they were relatively new just by the way they were looking around. And so I approached them, and they were like, yeah, we're here because we know Kevin. And I'm like, well, I kind of figured that when you walked in the door and I saw your height.
Yeah.
And they laughed, like the height, the cumulative height in this church has grown exponentially since you've came here. I am not in that category, but
me either.
I have to smile when I see some of the taller folks that are coaches walk in the doors.
Well, and I talk about take your call seriously because it impacts other people's lives. You know, Dad answering God's call impacted your life. And you answering the call to come here, God provided for Ephrata and opened up a door for another family to go pastor there at Ephrata.
Yeah. So. Yeah. And your dad taught me this too. It's great when you say yes and you have a bunch of confirmations that help you say yes. But there are times when you say yes and you don't have a single confirmation. You just know God's asking you to do this.
Right.
And sometimes you just got to say yes and you don't know. And I love the former kind when I have all these confirmations. But probably the latter kind is where you almost appreciate it more that, wow, this really took a lot of faith and trust. But later on, he confirms it, you know, and you go, wow.
Yeah.
That really grows your faith.
And you said sometimes those confirmations come after. You said confirmations come after obedience.
Yes. Yeah. I love it when you're trying to make a decision and you, and that was the way when we went to Pennsylvania, there were so many things that were laid in front of us that we just couldn't deny that he was calling us there. It was like he just kept hitting me over the head to say, I'm just making this so obvious. That was not the same case when we came back. Totally different.
You know, I think I've shared this before on here, but there was a time where Moses said to God, I want to see you face to face. And God said, I'll hide you in the cleft of the rock, and after I pass by, you can see me from behind. And that, just the fact that sometimes we can't see that God is all over it in the moment. We're in that cleft. You know, Jesus has us. But after we get beyond the whatever the situation might be, we look back and go, man, God was all over that. But we can't see it in the moment. But he does let us look back and see that he was absolutely with us through that process.
Yeah. And that's beautiful. And sometimes it doesn't happen right away, right? It might be months or years down the road. So.
Well, Pastor Kevin, it's been great to have you. And this actually turned into a two-parter. So just anything in conclusion that we haven't asked you already or that you haven't shared already that you'd like to share?
This is kind of funny, but it's almost uncomfortable to sit and talk about yourself and your own life so much. I am very much a person, anybody who knows me, I ask a lot of questions. So this is just weird to be sitting on the other side of the mic and have people ask me all these questions. Because I love sitting across a sandwich or a cup of coffee with somebody and asking them about their life. I don't want any pats on the back for being obedient, but I am seeing God work, and I'm grateful that our family has said yes to this. It wasn't just me, and I do think that he's going to continue to work. I'm excited for the future.
Right. Me too. Well, Pastor Kevin, I'm just going to say prayer in closing, and thank you for joining us today. It's been great to have you.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Lord, I just come before you today. I thank you for Pastor Kevin and Ruth and Jeremiah and Jazz and their obedience to you time after time and answering your call, even when it's not easy, even when it doesn't make sense. And we thank you already for what you're doing in our church and in our community because of their obedience and answering your call to come to Harrisonburg, Lord. And I would be amiss if I didn't also pray for Ephrata and Grace Point Church and their new leadership and their new church and the new church and new leadership at Ephrata, Lord. And I pray for them, and I continue to pray for the future of both churches, Lord, and both the Virginia District and the Philadelphia District, Lord. And I just thank you for the opportunity Pastor Margaret have had today to hear from Pastor Kevin and him to share his heart with us, Lord. And I pray a blessing over this church and over Pastor Kevin and his family. And I ask all this in your name. Amen.
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 Thank you for listening to today's broadcast of Hope Talks. We pray that as you've heard Pastor Kevin's testimony today, that it truly has been a half hour of hope for your life. May God bless.
Hope Talks is sponsored by Church of the Nazarene in Harrisonburg in partnership with Sunshine Ministries. If you enjoyed today's episode, make sure to subscribe, rate, and leave a review on Spotify or Apple Podcast. Your feedback helps us spread hope to even more listeners. Stay tuned for more uplifting stories in the next episode. Until then, keep the faith, share the love, and find joy in the hope that Jesus Christ brings.